This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. There are two more cases of malaria confirmed in Florida, bringing the total to six. CBS's Christopher Cruz on mosquito abatement underway in Sarasota County.
County Mosquito Management Services Manager Wade Brennan says teams are working to try to trap the mosquitoes before they infect anyone else.
We've set up specific traps to increase our chance of getting the vector that may be present.
Brennan says when his crews find mosquitoes, they'll bring in trucks and planes to spray pesticides. And he says they'll put on special backpacks and walk through individual yards, spraying as they go. Christopher Cruz, CBS News.
High temperatures over the past few days broke three global records in just 1 week. CBS's Chris Van Cleve reports from Phoenix, where more records could be broken.
It is certainly possible that we break that record before the heat drops down. And when we say drops down, it's not uncommon for it to be 105, 106, 108 here in Phoenix in July. So it's going to be very hot here, potentially triple-digit heat for months.
A Texas white supremacist who gunned down 23 people at an East El Paso Walmart in 2019 will spend the rest of his life in federal prison unless he gets the death penalty in state court. Reporter Chris Fox.
No emotion from 24-year-old Patrick Crucius as the life sentences were handed down. It came after 2 days of victim impact statements from the families. Amaris Vega lost her aunt, Teresa Sanchez. She addressed the shooter in court.
He wanted to get rid of the Hispanic people here in El Paso, but he didn't do that. He failed. And he didn't win. We're still here and we're not going anywhere.
El Paso District Attorney Bill Hicks says the federal sentence will have no impact on the state trial, which could happen as early as next year.
We are still going to be seeking the death penalty on the Walmart shooter.
Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
The Biden administration will include cluster bombs in a new military aid package for Ukraine. There are concerns the weapons could cause civilian casualties. More from CBS's Charlie Daggett in Ukraine.
Ukraine says it needs the help in a stalled counteroffensive against entrenched Russian troops, backing the White House's argument that the use of the controversial weapons is on Ukraine's watch.
Officials say the fire aboard a cargo ship at Port Newark in New Jersey, which killed two firefighters this week, will likely continue to burn for days. CBS's Errol Barnett.
The vessel is taking on so much water, it's listing. It's tilting to one side, so they're simultaneously pumping water out of the ship to prevent it from tipping over completely, which would, of course, cause more problems. And the smell, I can tell you, it smells like gasoline and burned rubber in this area.
This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Here's what you need to know in northwestern Wisconsin. Good afternoon, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Governor Tony Evers visited Boys and Girls Clubs across Wisconsin to promote his budget signing. Evers used his veto pen to increase public school funding for the next 402 years, among other measures. Evers said it was important to invest in education for the future of the state. Republican leaders said that the party is considering filing a lawsuit over the budget measure for schools. Republican State Senator Howard Markline, the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee that largely wrote the budget, called Evers' tax priorities misguided and warned that the annual increased spending on schools would lead to larger property tax increases. The city of Amory will need to replace two of its leaders after both its police chief and mayor stepped down this week. The city council met Wednesday to approve a search for a new chief of police to replace Steve Heinzel. Heinzel cited intolerable work conditions before retiring. Mayor Chad Leonard resigned yesterday, citing an exhausting political climate. Leonard was elected last year to serve through next spring. City Council President Eric Elkin will be the acting mayor until next spring. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Todd Alba Show.
I've been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee. I know you're going to give bipartisan praise that you're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. You don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So,
but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something happening in Madison that is a little bit on the good side.
The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Time for Mad Talk. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Heard you talking about Robin Voss, so I called Robin Voss's office and said, yeah, why is DEI so dangerous? And
nothing. The guy just stopped talking. I said, hello, are you there? I called him back and the phone got picked up and then they didn't say anything. You know, maybe you'll learn something if you listen to the Devil's Advocate.
The Devil's Advocates radio show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
These deserves protections.
Good. We will take what we can get. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com.
Are you tired of think tank approved corporate news and commentary? Are you tired of CEOs telling you what to think, who to hate, and who to vote for? Well, welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So this is one of these weird things. You know, I admit, Joe Biden doesn't get the sentences out, doesn't hit the punchlines enough. There's a lot of stammering. Guy's got a stutter. He's got a problem. That's factual. But have you seen Donald Trump speak? I mean, the guy is a blubbering idiot. I mean, you know, I know there's a lot of videos out there of Biden stumbling over words, but wow. The only thing I can think of is the shooter in Texas got 90 life sentences. So Trump had to think, well, there's a guy with a weird name. You know, he shot up a Walmart. We got to do something. I guess this is where him saying he's going to bring travel bans back that are going to be even bigger than before because, well, you know, we don't want people blowing up shopping centers. And I'm going, you know, where is this coming from? It's going to be interesting to see the debates because, you know, I admit, you know, Biden's got some struggles. But Trump, wow, blubbering idiot. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on making travel bans great again. I've asked our good friend Rich Ojeda to come talk with us. Rich is our host of Ojeda Live, a nightly hit on Facebook and YouTube. He's also the founder and chief cook and bottle washer over at the Turn Left Pack. You can check out their site, turnleftpack.org. Rich, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, always a pleasure, Rick. You know, when I sit and I think about the things that Donald Trump says he wants to do, when you can decipher through the blabber that he is spewing, you know, it's almost like, you know, his next campaign slogan should be Mein Kampf on every coffee table. Maybe that is what it needs to be. You know, it's absolutely amazing. You know, but the thing is that the supporters of Donald Trump, either they are smart enough by now to have turned, or they're just not smart enough and they're locked into this. And they're going to support Donald Trump because Donald Trump hates the same people that they hate. The downside to this is that, you know, when you look at Donald Trump, you know, you can go down to Florida and you see signs that say Latinos for Trump. You know, do they not realize that, you know, how does Donald Trump look at the Hispanic people? He calls them rapists and murderers. You know, Stephen Miller had a plan to literally use drones to sink boats that were out to sea in the Gulf of Mexico that were trying to make their way to America. And do they not think that some of those people on those boats are Latino from places like Cuba? You know, it's absolute garbage. Donald Trump is a racist. And, you know, if you are a racist, then you're with Trump. That's it. I mean, that's just the way that if you are if you're a racist or if you are poorly educated, you're automatically with Trump.
But this idea that we're going to bring travel bans back, and you hit an interesting point because I'm still waiting for Fox News to get on the MS-13 around every corner bandwagon, especially
they're going to use that
has tapped down a little bit, but this is red meat to the base. You know, this is red meat. This is him in a corner and desperate to get the attention and get the media again to fall all over him so that he can throw out the red meat to the base. That's how I saw this. But it's one of those things you go, how does this get between his ears today when you look at the fact that, you know, the guy who shot up the Walmart got 90 life sentences and they should have given him 100. There's nothing here to make our lives better. That's the problem that I have.
Well, I will tell you, it's just the racism that is blatant here. You know, I guarantee you there's not going to be a travel ban from the northern part, from up north. It's going to be a travel ban from places where Muslims come and people like, you know, south of the border. It's sad that here we are in 2023. And we're going backwards. We're going back to, you know, there's a significant amount of people that just want us to go back to the 50s and 60s in this country, you know, and it's sad, you know, and if you pay any attention to the history, if you really do pay attention and you realize some of the underhanded things that were done to people of color, you know, either you are completely evil and racist and you're okay with it, because if you're not, you should be willing to fight and stand up against this. You know, I will tell you, there was a small book that I read, and I have a lot of books and I read all the time. But I'm going to tell you that one of the most amazing books was a book, and it was a small book, and it was called How White People Got So Rich. And it is just absolutely eye-opening, you know, when you realize that, you know, out of all of the African Americans that fought during World War II, less than 2% of them were able to actually use their GI Bill benefits. And it was set up like that. They were told about them, and then when they come back, they wasn't given them. You know, I mean, it's a shame, and we've got people in this country that don't have a problem with that.
This is the thing. I mean, you see people, especially in West Virginia, these are folks who are struggling. So when you say this, you know, how white people got rich, you know, there are a lot of white people who are poor too. Lots of them. So, you know, immediately the right is able to play on that by going, well, they're saying you're rich and they want to take from you and give to them. And they play this divide and conquer game when the reality is, there were white people who got rich. It wasn't those of us who were at the bottom scraping to get by. So we maybe should still be talking about, you know, which white people are we talking about?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You know, but in some cases, you know, especially when you're talking about racism, you know, you have some people that just feel like as long as those black people over there are doing worse than that white guy, then they're content. They'll be okay with it. And, you know, it shouldn't be that way. But I mean, that's a problem that we have in this country. We, you know, it's like when Donald Trump, you know, come out. It's amazing the things that he was able to say and do and get away with. I mean, it's hard to believe that we are where we are.
No. And the thing is this is where education matters. This is where, you know, I just talked about the fact that, you know, Maniac Moms for Misery, the Moms for Liberty group is, you know, is pushing this, you know, this kind of insanity. And one of the people who spoke at their conference, this Ryan Walters, the guy who's the state superintendent in Oklahoma, is saying, look, you know, that Tulsa massacre thing that, you know, most people never learned about in high school or in school, because I didn't learn about it until 2015 when we researched our labor history in two, and we did a labor history in two on this. But he's now saying, you know, we shouldn't talk about skin color. Skin color didn't determine that. You know, we shouldn't talk about that at all. It just happened. It was like spontaneous. Granted, it only happened to those people. You know, we can't say who they were, but there was only a certain group of people that happened to.
Yeah. No, I think it's sickening that we have people that are literally trying to hide history. And to me, I think it's important. You know, it's like that little book that I was talking about. That book opened my eyes to a lot of things. And, you know, when you understand history and you start to realize that, you know, how wrong it was that people that served in World War II were denied their GI Bill benefits when everybody else, when the white people were using the GI Bill benefits to be able to purchase their homes, you know, and they denied black people that because they didn't want black people purchasing homes in their neighborhoods. You know, I mean, it's sad that, you know, we find ourselves in this situation. It's sad that it's 2023 and we realize that they're just as racist now as they were back then. Yeah. You know, it's a shame.
No, again, this is why it's so important to fight these fights. Look, you know, I got into an argument not too long ago with somebody over critical race theory, the fact that schools aren't teaching it. It's a complicated legal theory taught in law schools. It isn't in your kids' elementary school. But maybe the idea that there are some structural problems that maybe we should be looking at fixing. I wasn't responsible for it, but maybe we fix it so that we don't continue the practice. Sounds reasonable, but not to some.
Well, you know, I tell you, it's just like, you know, to us, you know, education wise, you know, why do we have people that are trying to hide our history? You know, that's a problem. It's so disappointed that here we are at this time. And these are the fights. You know, I don't want somebody telling me what my kids can read. I want to now, make no mistake, I don't have a problem knowing what my kids are reading. But, you know, I want my kids to learn the truth. I want my kids to learn the history, you know, and I mean, it's all a bunch of lies. These people coming in there trying to say the things that they're saying in terms of what kids should be and shouldn't be allowed to read. You know, history doesn't make you a bad person. You know, if you pay attention to history, it should really humble you, especially when you realize how, you know, when you know that people had struggled, it gives you empathy for them, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's the way it should be. And it's just, I don't know. It's a shame that we have our country today is literally trying to do things that I could see happening in North Korea, Russia, places like that. But, you know, and we've got people that are absolutely not smart enough to realize what Donald Trump wants. Donald Trump wants to be a dictator, period. He likes dictators. Everything that he talks about, everything that he does mirrors dictators. And it's a shame when you see people that, you know, are okay with that. I mean, look at these interviews that take place at these Trump rallies. We see a lot of absolute poorly educated people. But you also see people that when they are given the facts, they look right into the camera after they realize that they can't win the argument and they say, I don't care. I don't care. It doesn't matter. I don't care. I like Donald Trump and I don't care what he does. And that's just, I tell you,
yeah.
Donald Trump did one thing. He made America hate again. And he was able to capitalize on that and build a just amazing, just, it's so sad.
Listen to the Rick Smith Show. We're here with Rich Ojeda. Host of Ojeda Live. He does a live hit every night on Facebook and YouTube. He's also the chief cook and bottle washer and founder of the Turn Left Pack. We'll get links out on social media. I can take a look at that. Turnleftpack.org is the website. Now, it's interesting you bring this up because, you know, I was just, you know, just thinking as you were talking about, you know, what people want kids to learn in schools. We don't want them to learn about all the horrible things we did to black people in slavery. That was less than 150 years ago. We don't want to learn about that there are people who are different who have contributed. None of the LGBT stuff. Can't have that. No science that doesn't, you know, conform with their religious ideology. But we do want them to teach kids how to. Because they want, hey, that stuff should be taught at home, you know, religion, all that. But they want the schools to teach kids how to change a tire or balance a checkbook, you know, things that should be taught at home. It's weird the world that they're trying to push us towards where, you know, the important stuff we're going to gloss over, but the stuff that parents should be doing, well, maybe that's what we have the schools. It's weird to me, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, I tell you, I've always thought that, you know, there was a lot of things that I had to go through as a child going through school that I never, never have used ever. You know, a waste of time as far as I'm concerned, and how it would have been so much better to learn about, you know, certain things, learn about taxes, you know, learn about job interviews and things like that. And yeah, you know, fixing cars and, you know, everybody should have a basic knowledge of certain things. You know, I could say it wouldn't even bother me if you actually had gun safety, because we did. I grew up in West Virginia. I can remember we had a hunter safety program when I was in grade school, and all the kids went through it, and you got a nice little patch of a bear, you know, and that was, you know, because where we were from, you know, most kids would take a week off during deer season, because where I come from, if you didn't get a deer, in many cases, you didn't eat. So, you know, I mean, I can see that, but it's just a shame that, you know, we have parents. And in many cases, these aren't even educated parents that are out there at these boards of education threatening, you know, these boards of education leaders. I mean, that's a shame. You know, my thing is okay, then you don't want us to teach our kids real history. So here's the thing. All these people go in front of these boards and scream that they don't want this, they don't want this, they don't want this. But they're not telling us this is what we want. We want to teach this. They're not giving us that. They don't want us to teach our kids history. So then what do you want us to teach? You know, because I don't see anybody coming out saying this is what we want. They're just spewing the same garbage that they hear.
Now, what I wanted to talk about, we just spent a whole lot of time on the maniac moms for misery. But I wanted to talk about the economy, Rich. I mean, the reality is things are going in the right direction. Bucket Joe is killing it, showing up, doing the job.
Look, let me tell you something. We know for a fact that the first 2 years of President Biden legislatively have went down as the most positive 2 years in any president's history. Now, he has already reduced the deficit by like $1.6 trillion. He's on track to have it at $2 trillion by the end of this year. You know, my thing is if we give him another 4 years, you know, my goodness gracious, every Republican, as soon as they come on board, what do? Every Republican gets handed a decent opportunity. You know, Clinton balanced the budget. President Obama took it down almost, you know, to where it needed to be. But every time a Republican takes over, they give tax breaks to the rich, and they give all this money to corporations and put us back in debt again. You know, if we give Joe Biden another 4 years, he absolutely could balance the budget, you know. And as far as, you know, he talks funny. Well, he had a stutter. But I'll tell you what, Joe Biden is kicking butt. He is the number one jobs president that we've ever had, you know. And like they just got 209 more thousand jobs. He's over 13 million. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, why would we not want to give him another 4 years?
Yep. No, and that's the bottom line in it. We need 4 more years. But Rich, as always, I appreciate the time. Good stuff, my friend.
Thank you, brother.
Our good friend Rich Ojeda. Make sure you check out his Facebook and YouTube live every weeknight. Also, the Turn Left Pack, where he is the chief cook and bottle washer and founder. Find out what they're doing there. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. Back after this.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors, the American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. Let's quick go to the phones. We got Alice on line one. Alice, what's on your mind?
What I wanted to say is this. One thing about the right wing and Republicans in particular is they love revisionist history. It doesn't matter if it's history. It doesn't matter if it's something that happened last year or 2 weeks ago. They have to revise it. They twist it around to where it no longer resembles the original happening.
Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, they do it with everything. You know, it's just totally insane. And you know, like they're trying to revise, you know, things about Joe Biden. And it's all about Hunter Biden. And it's like, who even cares? Hunter Biden has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
And until you can prove that Joe Biden did anything illegal, shut up. So I don't know. I think they're all insane. And that's my professional opinion. Have a good evening.
There you go. Thanks, Alice. Appreciate it. Let's go to the phones. We got Chad on line two. Chad, how are you?
Hello?
What's on your mind, brother? Chad, you're on. What's on?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, what's going on? What's on your mind?
Okay, I don't know if you can hear me, but I'm having a couple problems as being an undecided voter when I listen to what's going on out here, and especially, you know, coming from the Biden camp. You know, we all want to rip on Donald Trump, and that's fine. The man is, he is who he is. He's not the most articulate, and he speaks, you know, from the heart. But, you know, quite frankly, under him, we were energy independent. We were, you know, our own net exporter of oil. We had the lowest unemployment in 45 years. There was the lowest African-American unemployment in over 40 years.
Yeah, and that's where we are right now. So what's your point?
$3. And my portfolio was rising. Now it's in the tank. I'm trying to vote for somebody, and it's all it is you know, saying orange man bad. And I'm trying to figure out, again, there was no threat from China, you know, our border.
All right, well, hold on, Chad. Secured. Let me you threw out a bunch there. You got a lot there, Chad.
So well, I'm not finished. You know.
No, you're finished because you're just gonna go on a whole huge resume of stuff that you're not gonna let me address. So how this is gonna work, Chad, is you've thrown out a lot. There's a lot there for me to respond to. The economy you brought up. The economy right now is humming along. 3.6% unemployment. You know, better than it's been in 50 years. We've got, you know. You name the group, they're employed, they're doing better. Joe Biden inherited a mess, an absolute mess. And who allowed that mess to happen? You want to throw that out there? Or do you want me to tell you what it is? Donald Trump messed things up. So you can't forgive the last year and a half of his presidency. Now, you brought up some other stuff, the energy independence. We're moving in a direction to become energy independent. We are doing a whole bunch on renewables, doing a whole bunch on trying to create our own energy at home. I think that's the right path. So you've thrown out a bunch there. And look, I'm not a Trump fan, but he didn't do the things he said. He talked about, you know, we're going to bring jobs back. That didn't happen. We're going to invest in infrastructure. That didn't happen. You know who's doing that? Jelly Bucket Joe, the guy who shows up, maybe stutters a little bit, but is actually doing the work, Chad. So for me, it's pretty simple where we are in this moment. Does that make sense to you? All right, I guess Chad's gone. It is. What do we got? We've got John in Wisconsin. I got 30 seconds. John, real quick, what's on your mind, buddy?
Got a quick question for you.
Hit me.
Okay. So the book, the Mockingbird book, is that appropriate for a five-year-old?
No, I read it in high school.
Okay. Okay, perfect. So I don't know why Democrats are getting all bent out of shape about these book bans when some of the material isn't even appropriate for the age.
Yeah, there's the Kill a Mockingbird isn't in a kindergartner's class. I'm sorry, I'm not going there. I got to take a break. I appreciate the call, John. Thanks so much. Quick break, right back. Stick around. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1998. That was the first day of a 48-hour general strike in Puerto Rico. The strike was called in support of telephone workers who had walked off the job 3 weeks earlier. The workers were protesting government plans to sell off the publicly owned telephone service to GTE, a private company based out of Connecticut. As the strike of the telephone workers continued, more and more Puerto Ricans rallied to their cause. A general strike was endorsed by more than 50 unions, along with other civic, political, and religious groups. The group of organizations leading the strike went by the acronym CHAOS. For 2 days, the general strike shut down almost all activity in the nation. Work at stores, banks, and the halls of government ground to a halt. Transportation ground to a halt as bus drivers and taxi cab drivers took to the picket lines. Many in the crowd waved Puerto Rican flags. In the streets, the chant could be heard, Hilga, Hilga, or Strike, Strike. Many also chanted, Never surrender. The telephone company belongs to the people. The strike won support outside of Puerto Rico as well. The Health and Hospital Workers Union 1199 in New York issued a statement of solidarity and a $100,000 donation to help support the cause. After the success and support of the general strike, the telephone workers remained on the picket line. The strike wore on for 41 days. In the end, GTE won the day. The company promised not to retaliate against any striking workers. But when they took over, the company reduced staffing through so-called voluntary layoffs and early retirements. This is yet another chapter in the fight against privatization. Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show.
The political extremists demanding that government control every woman's personal reproductive decisions claim that they are pro-life, but that's a rhetorical fraud. Look at their overall policy agenda, and you will see that they are merely pro-birth. After that, adios, baby. Good luck. They consistently join Republican lawmakers to kill public programs that deliver essential real-life needs to babies after they're born. Consider child care, a fundamental need in any society, yet the leaders of our rich, sophisticated nation that supposedly treasures family, work, and children have created a mingy system that literally is a crying shame, revealing that our society deliberately does not care for children. Here's reality for you. 98% of American workers are better paid than those we entrust to care for our children. Working at a nail salon, loading boxes at an Amazon warehouse, flipping burgers at McDonald's are jobs given more pay and respect than most child care jobs. This is not just a poor people's problem. For the lack of child care availability, affordability, and quality is a looming crisis for a majority of American families. Nonetheless, Republicans, enabled by corporate Democrat Joe Manchin, recently killed funding for a program to both raise worker pay and lower the prices families are charged. Such care is too expensive, squawk the same lawmakers who routinely dole out billions in welfare to corporate peers. But wait, the GOP has come up with a genius, low-cost solution. Relax safety and educational requirements for child care centers, as Iowa and Montana have already done, allowing 16-year-olds to provide care for up to 15 children each. This is Jim Hightower saying, to support life, not just birth, join up with the First 5 Years Fund, FFYF.org.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
I got to tell you, it's one of those things that makes me wonder, you know, because it's not all about Orange Man bad. It's about Trump is a bad guy. I mean, and I'm hoping he ends up where he belongs over the things that he's done. But it's again, policy stuff. You know, I think Biden is doing the right thing, moving us in the right direction. And that is a good thing. And as I said from the beginning, I bust Biden's shoes for not being able to get a sentence out. But, you know, honestly, have you listened to Trump lately? Anyway, it's remarkable where we are. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the top stories of the day. I've asked our good friend Bob Ney, former Ohio congressman, political analyst, to come share some thoughts. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, thank you, Rick.
So, you know, I'm in this spot. You know, I'm looking at the economic numbers. I'm looking at the job numbers that are coming out. I'm looking at the fact that, you know, coming out of the pandemic, when Biden took over, you know, things are, you know, moving in the right direction. We're creating 13.2 million jobs over 29 months. Inflation's lowering. Wages are going up. You know, all of this stuff moving us in the right direction. And still you've got this, you know, Biden's bad. You know, Bidenomics is no good for us, and his numbers are down, and they shouldn't be, because we're doing some really good stuff.
Well, if you look at the current, I think you have to look at the, you know, the current economic trends for 2023. It's going to expand at a, maybe the pace we don't completely want, but it's going to expand.
Right.
That's number one, and that's coming back, because you said a lot there that's very accurate, but it's coming back off of COVID. It's coming back off of, you know, high inflation. It's coming back off of, you know, reeling from the supply chain, you know, on and on and on. So there's going to be, in late 2023, at worst, let me put it that way, a potential for a mild readjustment. You can call it a rescission. I'm not calling it a recession, but you can call it a rescission. Now, there'll still be some long-term average annual growth. I think if you look at, you know, predictions that are out there, I think that's probably going to be, you know, fairly accurate. So they aren't bad numbers. Now, I personally, from looking political side to this, I don't like, you know, the Reaganomics, Bidenomics. I don't know. I personally, I think that, you know, he can talk on the issue. I'm not so sure I would have developed that as you know, the theme. Now that they've done it, though, this would be my advice to the White House. Not that they would want to undertake it, but if they were paying me, my advice would be, don't back down off of it.
No.
Do not back down off of this. You've went with it. He's got an economic program. Because now they're saying, well, this isn't, don't back down off of it.
Don't be Democrats. Don't be wishy-washy.
Just plow forward. Move ahead. Take it out to the public, you know, have the you know, the cabinet members talking about it. And those are the things that they need to, you know, to do. I had coffee this morning at 8 o'clock in the morning with we talked about this, a very interesting person who was active in Republican politics for years. He's still a Republican. He says he stays in the party to irritate them. And, you know, he's very economics focused. And we were talking about this today. He was talking about messaging, you know, and we were talking about Democrats and Republicans. And he said, you know, the Republicans get bad messaging when they get off on the Marjorie Taylor Greens, you know, and things like that.
Right.
But he said on the Democrat side, he said, it seems to him that trying to satisfy pockets of interest, you know, well, we're going to try and take care of this, take care of that. He said, if you look at the broad picture and you look at the economics, you know, as we said today, go with it.
No, it's the James Carville. It's the economy, stupid. And for me, it's always been. And the reason I think the Bidenomics thing works for me anyway is because you're demarking a change, a sea change. You know, this idea that neoliberalism, I'm hoping, is dead. I'm hoping we can put a stake through its heart. I'm hoping we can undo some of the supply side voodoo Reaganomic stuff. I'm hoping we can undo the things that got us into the mess that we're in. And you know, the line Biden uses, which I think is incredibly important, bottom up, middle out, that the concern is working people. That's the heart of the Democratic message, you know, from the FDR years through today. And it's still the message. And I wish they would just stick to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the reason I don't think the word I don't think the word is bad. I don't think that, you know, having Bidenomics and selling it, you know, is a bad thing. But I know in the beginning, and this is what I can't stand. In the beginning, they had a debate on this in the White House. They weren't real resolved on it, and it all leaked out to the press. I just can't stand that. You know, you've been involved in retail politics, you know, the vast majority of your life. Have you ever went into at the local level? And if you get behind a candidate, have you ever went in a meeting where, you know, it just all leaks out the next day? I mean, that doesn't happen a whole lot, but it does when it comes to the White House's. I don't know.
It's someone, you know, someone got an idea and they threw it out there because, hey, I'm going to write a book after this is all done and take credit for it.
So as long as they stay with it, promote it, be proud of it, go out in the right way and, you know, talk about it and do what you need to do, don't back down from it, they'll be okay on it.
No, because the very real message here, and look, you know, I've said, you know, from the beginning, I think Biden's got a problem in re-election because he's not the great communicator. He's not Obama. He's not Clinton. But he's got policies that are going to help people if only they would do a much better job of messaging around it. The fact that, you know, I went to the invest.gov website and I spent, you know, like a half an hour looking at all of the projects that are going on because of his policies, all of the jobs that are being created, all the infrastructure that's being rebuilt. And yet somehow his economic approval ratings are 7 points lower than his overall numbers, which tells me that they're just not doing a good enough job messaging. And I love what Josh Shapiro did here in Pennsylvania by putting a camera on that bridge going, hey, you can watch the progress. I wish we would do more of that stuff.
Well, and look, Shapiro, he is a living, breathing playbook. He really is.
Yeah.
On doing things, appealing to the, you know, the workers, whether he's, you know, bipartisan in somebody's eyes or not, he comes across as that way, you know, significantly reaching out for what it's worth. Why not reach out? And if the Republicans slap your hand back in Pennsylvania, then you reach out again, you know, and you keep going with your agenda. So I think it's a playbook to look at.
No, I think what he does is incredible. And it shows. He's got a 58% approval rating here in the state, while Biden's is well under 50%. So there's something to be said there. And look, I love the fact that they're out doing this Investing in America tour. We should be highlighting it. But here's the problem. Biden gave a speech in South Carolina, and it was an economic speech. None of the networks picked it up. It was one of those things where you go,
what do you make of that?
Well,
why?
Trump was on everywhere all the time. Whenever he spoke, there were cameras on him because he's, to be honest, he's gold. He's going to bring eyeballs. People want to see what craziness he's going to see. Mm-hmm. He's like the Howard Stern of politics. You know, there was in the movie, there was a scene where he's going, they're talking about, you know, why people watch or listen to the show. He's going, you know, people who love him listen for like 15 minutes.
Right.
But, you know, people who hate him listen for 3 hours.
Right.
And why are they listening? Because they want to see what he's going to say next. And
exactly.
That's the Trump effect in politics. You know, Biden doesn't have that kind of command. It's just getting the work done, which is why I've been calling him Jelly Bucket Joe. He shows up, does the work, and goes home. I think that's important, but we got to do some of the song and dance.
Right. Well, also, as time progresses here, and again, I say the word mantra all the time, I told candidates when I was advising them, get a mantra. Have your supporters have the same mantra. You know, what is, you know, a mantra is you repeat it.
Like, yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do? We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to balance the nation's budget. We're going to reform education. You got your mantra. You don't want to make it too difficult.
Nope, simple.
You don't want to make it too long, but you get your mantra. And they've got to stick to it. And I keep saying that because as time goes on, although, as you know, I don't think it will be Trump, but as time goes on, Trump is, you know, the message for the Republicans is getting stepped on and is going to get stepped on. The House leadership knows it. The Senate Republican leadership knows it. There's not much they can do about it, but that's what's happening. So it's, you know, it's going to be two different messages. And then you have to look at the one message from Trump. Trump trying to get out of his legal troubles. What does that do for John and Susie lunch bucket tomorrow morning to help raise their kids?
Nothing.
No. So, I mean, those are the questions that I'd be pointing out in the campaigns. And then you say what Biden is doing to make sure that, you know, John and Susie Smith can pay the bills and try to help the kids in the community tomorrow.
No, I mean, that's what politics is about. How are you planning to make people's lives better? And sadly, when I look at someone like Trump and I look at Republicans right now, it's all about how can we make people's lives worse? For instance, like today, the big news was, you know, Trump wants to bring back travel bans. Evidently, we're going to bring them back bigger and better than before. He said, when I return to office, the travel ban is coming back even bigger than before and much stronger than before. We don't want people blowing up our shopping centers. I don't know where that came from, but it's music to the base. It's red meat for the base to get them all. Yeah, we're going to go get them. I don't know who we're talking about, but we're going to get them.
Yeah. And it'll be, yes, you're right, even bigger than before, which I don't know, you know, if that means you ban the entire world for coming here. That ban, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm having a senior moment. The ban was upheld by the court, right, Supreme Court?
Yeah, it was, I believe, yes.
Right, yes. So, and it had Muslim countries, and then, of course, North Korea and Venezuela, but he had the Muslim countries in it. And also, something else that I don't know, I would do some research on if I was the White House and point it out, the amount of non-publicized immigration tampering because of Miller, you know who he is.
Yeah, the guy who wanted to use drones to sink, people trying to come here on boats. Yeah, I know.
Right, and Miller wants to stop legal, L-E-G-A-L, legal immigration, green cards, fiancé visas, students, et cetera, coming into America. The embassies throughout the world, and I can prove what I'm about to say, and I've sent messages, and nobody seems to get traction on it for some reason. Throughout the world, we're systematically not approving marriages that were legitimate, that were proven. They weren't approving students who had approved college visas to come to the United States. And it wasn't just, you know, countries like, it wasn't North Korea. It was, you know, countries we deal with all the time, you know, including India. And this was being systematically carried out through the embassies. I think it's loosened up a bit. But if he announces he's going to be bigger and better, there's going to be all kinds of things that are going to be done where, you know, to come here for tourism is going to be tough.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, you know.
Which is economic.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting you bring that up because, you know, I was going to go with, you know, bring up Ron DeSantis, who says that he's going to debate Trump with or without him. He's going to debate with or without Trump. And I'm going, are we bringing cardboard cutouts back? Is the empty chair with Clint Eastwood coming back? Are we going to borrow that?
Well, here's the thing, too. Look, Trump's, you know, not decided whether he's going to, you know, debate or not, et cetera. And then DeSantis, so yeah, bring the chair back. And the Republican National Committee is still, you know, holding their pledge. Well, you've got to, you know, and Trump's ahead. And if he stays in, which I think he will get out, but if he stays in, then the National Committee is going to say, well, if you don't pledge, then we won't allow you there. DeSantis won't have an opportunity if he doesn't pledge to support the winner of the primary.
Yeah.
He's not even going to have an opportunity. They won't even let him on stage.
No, that's an interesting point. And the weird thing is DeSantis is supposedly a smart guy. I mean, he's Ivy League educated. This is supposedly a smart guy. And it seems like everything he's doing is backfiring except for, you know, the base. And now I just saw a story that, you know, people, you know, tourism experts are panicking in Florida because they're afraid that, you know, all of these conventions that were supposed to happen in the Sunshine State are being canceled. You know, people are scrapping their plans because they don't want to go to a place where, you know, their group is hated or their people in their group are going to be hated because DeSantis has created this kind of unfriendly political atmosphere that people want to run away from. I don't know that he's I don't know that he gets any traction given the fact that he's already viewed as that guy.
There's two people, and I said this today to a guy that called me and asked me about you know, some things that were going on. And I said, there's two people that I can say today, stick a fork in them. One is Rudy Giuliani,
yes.
And the other is DeSantis. He's done. He's done. I don't. If Trump bows out tomorrow, he's done.
He's still done.
And the ad, which, you know, I've been campaigning since, you know, for candidates since 1973, I have never seen anything like that ad.
Wasn't that weird?
It was beyond weird. I mean, you know, here's DeSantis. There's a guy with his shirt off, all oiled up, and then it flashes to DeSantis, and you're like, what message is he trying to say, you know, in these ads? And then it made him look like, I don't know, they had the screen shaking. It is an ad worth watching because it is so disturbing that, you know, even people that supported him winced and looked away.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think Buttigieg had the perfect line. He goes, you know, I don't know what it says when you're putting your image between two oiled up bodybuilders. But, you know, he said, look, and I like how he finished. He goes, I don't know what some people wake up thinking about if they're going to help people or what, but I wake up every day thinking about how we're going to make lives better. I think he's an incredible politician. I don't think he's ever going to be president, but I think he's an incredible politician. Because it made me wonder, you know, if this is the kind of stuff that you're campaigning on, what are you going to actually do for us? What's the plan? What's the vision? There doesn't seem to be one.
Well, DeSantis also took the there are issues that can be discussed on, you know, on the transgender issues. There can be certain issues that will be discussed on whether it's transgender or not transgender or straight or gay, about kids, certain ages, what you teach, you know, first grade or second, you know, you don't do certain things. Parents, you know, you can discuss those things. He didn't do that. He took it and he went so overboard in every single direction that you just wonder if he's stuck on this topic. You know, stuck on it.
So if he's out,
when you think of DeSantis, that's what you think of.
No, he's the woke warrior. Everything about it is whatever that is, whatever he views the woke is. That's where he's at. So if DeSantis is done sticking a fork into him, and you don't think Trump's going to be the guy, who's got the inside scoop then? Who are you seeing that might get it?
Well, I know she's not exciting in the sense, you know, and on fire, et cetera, but Nikki Haley is still there, and you know, and she's female, and she's there. You've got Chris Christie. I know the whole bridge thing.
Never getting through the primary.
I know. I understand. But Chris Christie, you know, is a name out there. I see Pence as having zero.
No chance. Even less than Chris Christie.
And by the way, Pence went over to Paris and sunk his boat this past week. He got in with the people that Rudy Giuliani got in with, the Mujahideen Kalk. He did that, which I don't know who advised him on that one. So I see no traction there. So I don't know. I mean, you, Nikki Haley, I guess.
Yeah, I'm. My mind is still as the person who's not in yet. I think Brian Kemp and Nikki Haley, I think that's a ticket that I think might get some traction.
But I think Haley is a part of this somewhere. I really do.
No, I agree, because you know you need to have that messaging that, you know, we're not racist, that we're not all this other stuff. And look, she's a good politician. You know, she's smart. I don't like her. I don't like her policies. I think she's, you know, a terrible politician in the functions, but I think, you know, she's as good as they get on the right. And I think someone like Brian Kemp, who's got that folksy good old boy kind of, you know, and the fact that he took Georgia in such a huge way, I think he's somebody who concerns me.
Right.
Well, we'll see. And that's why we play the game. But Bob, I appreciate the time as always. Great stuff.
Thank you, Rick.
Our good friend Bob Nay. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. I'm going to take a quick break. Right back to wrap things up. Stick around. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1905. It was the 10th day of the convention in Chicago, Illinois, where William Big Bill Haywood of the Western Federation of Miners and Daniel DeLeon and Eugene V. Debs of the Socialist Party founded the Industrial Workers of the World. The IWW, or Wobblies as they're sometimes called, was formed in part in response to the American Federation of Labor's opposition to organizing unskilled labor. Bill Haywood proclaimed in the founding convention, "This is the Continental Congress of the Working Class. We are here to confederate the workers of this country into a working class movement that shall have for its purpose the emancipation of the working class from the slave bondage of capitalism." In the first two decades of the 1900s, the IWW cut across traditional guild and union lines to organize workers in a variety of trades and industries. Many notable people were either members or supporters of the IWW, including Mother Jones, Elizabeth Gurley Flynn, and Joe Hill. Hill, along with Ralph Chaplin and T-Bone Slim, compiled a book of labor songs in 1909 known as the Little Red Songbook.
I dreamed I saw
The Wobblies were opposed to U.S. involvement in World War I, which they called a war for capitalism and empire. However, in 1917, Congress passed the Espionage Act, which exacted harsh financial penalties or even jail time for anyone speaking out against the war. One of the people arrested under the Espionage Act was Bill Haywood. In the aftermath, the IWW declined in membership and influence. Labor History in 2, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, TheRickSmithShow.com. So, next week on the program, so just kind of mental notes. Wednesday, we're going to be running a best of. It's travel day for us. Heading out to Chicago, the Windy City. Netroots is having their big powwow. We generally show up and do our little song and dance. And looking forward to meeting people. All of the folks who are going to attend Netroots, looking forward to that. So we'll be broadcasting from Netroots. Doing some live hits during the day. So we're looking forward to doing some of that stuff on social media. This is, I guess a couple thousand people from across the country come together and talk about how they're going to change the world. And I love being around a bunch of fire-breathing do-gooders. Important vision for the future, talking about how we're going to change the world, how we're going to make things better. We're going to have education for children and healthcare for families. It's going to be fabulous. It's going to be fabulous stuff. And I'm hoping, because sadly, during the break, I'm sitting here thinking, I'm going, we do spend a lot of time talking about the Orange Menace. We do talk around about Nectarine Nero and Tangerine Tiberius, maybe a little bit too much. But the reality is, this guy carries so much weight in a portion of this country that I'm concerned about what happens when he is held accountable. What happens when people wake up to the reality that he admitted to the things he's been charged with. He admitted it. Now, my friend Bob, he believes that Trump is going to bow out. I don't. I think he's got in his head the only way he stays out of jail is to become president and then pardon himself. That's where my mind goes. And it's it's not, I don't know that it's impossible. And at the end of it, I got to tell you, I think his base would be okay with it. And champion, and being the champions of him doing that. History is being made. We are living what our great-grandchildren are going to look back on. And the question is, which side will...